Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world, and we do this in several different ways. On Sundays, we meet together for three gatherings at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard in the heart of the Hollywood District of Portland. Our gatherings start at 9:15 and 11 a.m. and at 6:15 p.m. with childcare available at all gatherings. We also meet in life groups all over the city. And God calls us to love the city of Portland. If you'd like more information about who we are, how to be involved, how to find a life group, or you have some other question, please visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. Or just come and hang out with us at one of our gatherings. We look forward to seeing you. And for now, here's this week's talk.
Sunday. Laura, you prayed. Some of us are walking in here and barely able to put one foot in front of the other, and I'm sure that's a few of us, whether we want to identify as that or not. But hopefully others of you had a really good Sunday. It's good to be here together. It's good to sing together and pray together. In a few weeks, as Laura said, we're going to have an opportunity to bring food. For many of us, food is something that we have easy access to and abundance of, and so for those of us that that's true, we get to bring it here and pack the stage and see people baptized, and it's gonna be a great day. It's November 23rd, 2 weeks from today, and so be praying. If you haven't been baptized and you're following Jesus, maybe be praying about that decision, being baptized that day. For the last year, we've just kind of opened it up and had it available that if you want to decide in the moment to get baptized, and it's just been an amazing thing to see how God works in the moment and who ends up kind of stepping up and walking forward and going, okay, let me see what these swim trunks look like, and then get dunked, and it's a great thing to celebrate God working in individuals' lives and in the life of our church. Next week, we've been in a series on the Holy Spirit, which we've called God's Empowering Presence. And next week, we're going to be talking about something that's a challenge, about grieving the Holy Spirit. We've been getting to know who the Holy Spirit is, that he is a person. That's how God is with us at all times for those of us that know Jesus, and what it's actually like to walk with him on a regular basis. It's been great to see how we've actually grown. Hear stories from people, and even languages, people have actually been talking about the Holy Spirit. Again, instead of like software or something that we catch, it's actually a person, it's a relationship. We have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So it's been great to see how we've been growing. But next week, we're gonna tackle that, of what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit, and how we actually can, because it is a relationship, harm that relationship, and what does grace look like in the midst of that? So that's next week, and then on the 23rd, Thanksgiving celebration, what it's like to receive the Holy Spirit. There's some among us that just haven't received the Holy Spirit, haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, and we're talking about what that's looked like through Scripture and how many of us have experienced that. So, but this week, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit again and some texts in Scripture that we've actually hit a few times but spent a little bit more time on them together this evening. So I'm going to pray, invite you to pray with me, and then we'll open up Scripture together. God, again, it's good to be here with you tonight, to be in your time and in your space. And as we look around the room and I realize who you've called here and drawn here tonight, would you help us to have a sense of expectation that you're going to meet us here? Some of us have already experienced you and are just confirmed that this is where we needed to be tonight, and we needed to meet with you and hear from you in the midst of a bunch of other people. Others of us come tonight very clear that we've struggled with pride this week, that we've struggled with selfishness, we've struggled with deceit and lying, and we've asked for forgiveness and now want to experience you in a fresh way. For those of us that haven't, would you convict us tonight in areas, reveal areas of our life tonight that are safe to bring before you and have you forgive? We could start afresh with you tonight. Holy Spirit, as we've continue to get to know you. Would you reveal yourself tonight? Would you move among us and help us to think really clearly and at the same time have our wills, our hearts, our future in your hands, that you would actually guide and direct and mold it. And Jesus, we need to be taught by you. We need to hear from you. Would you teach us tonight as we look into your word? In Jesus' name, amen. I want to show you something. It was June, July, August, September. I'm into my sixth month now of a remodel of one of my bathrooms in my home. I'm into a remodel in the bathroom in my home, and I've never done this before. I've helped. I've watched people do it. I've heard of it. This is the first time I'm actually doing it myself. And we bought a home that was built. We've been in our home now 7 years. It was built in 1971. It looked, when we moved in, it looked like it was 1972. It hadn't changed at all. And there was a part in the bathroom that prompted us to finally start breaking stuff. And I want to show it to you. This is it. This is a tile. Some of you might be able to see this. Some of you might not be able to see this. This is a tile in my shower in my bathroom. On it is, in raised, some kind of glitter. Painted on there, sketched on there, is a swan. And there's some kind of lily pads in the water. And I know it's water because there's lines of glitter there that look like water. And then there's some kind of a tree, branch, bush thing behind it. This is hideous, and it was in my home, and you can't all see it, so I took a picture of it a few minutes ago, and we were able to scan it up there. So if you didn't see it here, you're welcome. That was in my home. Some of you may be tempted to use the word vintage, and objectively, according to God, you're wrong. No, I don't know that. I don't want to speak for God on that. But I hate this. I think it's ugly. If you think it's vintage and has any value, we can start the price tonight at $500. Can we? No. Yeah, I didn't think so. This is unfortunate and painful. Now, this wasn't planned, but I just noticed something here that wasn't... I didn't intend to do this, but switch back to the logo. Now switch back to that. Now switch back. So that wasn't planned at all. So there's no, they're both kind of birds of some sort, and that wasn't intentional. This was horrible. I saw it in my bathroom, and I said, I have to remodel my bathroom. And so I just kind of said, I'm going to start doing this. I have tools in my possession that fit a space about this big. I don't have a lot of tools. I wasn't equipped to do this project. I naively thought, I can do this, I can learn it, there's YouTube available, I have a screwdriver and duct tape, I'm ready to go, I can remodel my bathroom. I'm in a men's group, and I started talking about my plan, and one of the guys started asking questions to reveal what a knucklehead I was in this project, and he said, hey, I used to be a general contractor, I'll come help you out. And he knew enough to show up with some tools as he came over. And so he comes over and he stands in our space and begins to look. And I'd started pulling tile off of the shower. And he says, okay, you're going to need something. And he opens up this case and he showed me this thing. And he said, here, you're going to need this. And he hands me this tool called a Sawzall. How many of you know what a Sawzall is? Yes, yes. If you don't know what a Sawzall is, it can do anything. A Sawzall can do absolutely anything. It can wreck stuff. It can build stuff. It was an animal. It'd be like a unicorn. It's amazing. It's a magical tool. And he put it in my hands and he says, you are going to need this. And I took this and I remodeled my bathroom with it. I started chopping stuff down. I tore stuff up. It cuts through metal. It cuts through wood. It cuts through tile. It just destroyed everything. And it didn't rebuild it, actually. That took a bunch of other tools I had to borrow. But it was this amazing tool. And I didn't even know. When he handed it to me, I didn't realize what I was getting into. I had started pulling a few tiles off and thought I was making good ground. And he hands me this tool and he says, you're going to need this. And all of a sudden I realized, I think I'm in a different game than I thought I was. This tool that he actually put in my hand, this Sawzall that could destroy anything, actually told me what I was in store for. I'm in store for a lot more than I thought I was, because this tool can do a lot more than I thought it was planning on doing. If you're following Jesus, Jesus has actually given you the Holy Spirit. And he's given you the Holy Spirit because the calling, the life, the experience, the journey, the project, if you will, that you are, requires that. Jesus asks us to repent and to believe and to follow him. He sits around a table with his disciples and he says, I'm going, you're going to be here still, I'm going to come back, you're going to have somebody with you. Have peace in the midst of being scared out of your mind, in the midst of being confused. Have peace. Do not fear. Don't have anxiety. And he says in the midst of all that, here, I'm giving you something. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And for so many of us, we start into this project of following Jesus and think that we can get through it with the screwdriver and duct tape, that we think we can get through it with our own mind, ability, intelligence, and self-discipline. And Jesus is gently reminding us that you're not even close, and you actually need the Holy Spirit. You can't make it through. You can't come to the end. You can't go through the journey. You can't go through tomorrow without the Holy Spirit. He says this, if you've got a Bible, find your way to John chapter 14, verse 16. If you've been with us through this series, God's Empowering Presence, you've heard these verses before. I want to look at them again tonight, and then another one as well. John, Jesus is sitting around with his disciples, and he's talking to them in chapters 14, 15, 16, and then he starts praying in chapter 17 of John, and it's this long conversation, this time spent together with them. In chapter 14, verse 16, he says this, "And I will ask in the Father, and he will give you another advocate, one like me, another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." They were frightened. They were nervous. They were scared that they would get left behind and that nobody would be with them. And Jesus says, "No, I'm giving you this other person. He's coming to be with you. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you always to help you and to stay with you forever. You're never going to be alone, and you will always have help. And you actually need that. You can't make it through this on your own. You can't do it on your own. You actually need the help." Another advocate, the word there actually means one who comes alongside. And the picture, the image, is that the Holy Spirit that comes alongside and stands with and goes with wherever we go. And I know it also says that he's in us, and he is, but the imagery is there of alongside with us. He never lags behind. He never gets out too far ahead. He's always with us going through this life. Jesus says later on in this conversation, if you turn the page over in chapter 16, verse 33, he says this. He's ending his talk with them, and he begins to pray in the next verse. But in this verse, he says this, "I have told you these things," all of this long conversation, chapter 14, 15, 16, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." What Jesus is saying is that this time between here and your time on this earth, this is going to encounter trouble. This is going to be difficult. This is going to be painful. This is going to be full of affliction even. There's going to be suffering in this. And so you need the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you can't make it through. Let me read for you another verse. It's going to be up on the screen. It's in Romans. If you can flip over there quickly, you can find it. But it's going to be up on the screen as well. Romans chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. Paul is writing now, and he says this, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." We have hope. "And hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." When Jesus says you have the Holy Spirit in you, and again, for anyone here who knows Jesus and is following Jesus, is We have the Holy Spirit in us. When we made that decision, it may have been some key mark experience in your life that you will never forget. Maybe it was a gradual thing that you moved closer and closer over time, and then one day you realized, I've been walking around for the last couple of weeks as a follower of Jesus, and I'm not sure exactly where the time is, but as we become followers of Jesus, as we're redeemed and saved and rescued, the Holy Spirit is given to us. And again, maybe you can mark it and say, I remember. Others of us are just kind of go, no, I'm still getting to know the Holy Spirit. He's been with me all this time. I'm still getting to know what His voice is like and how He prompts me and how He speaks to me and how He cares for me and how He leads me and how He guides me. We all have the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons that we have the Holy Spirit, we've been talking about these for a number of weeks, it convicts us, it guides us, it speaks to us. We can hear its voice. But one of the reasons that we have it, have Him to help us, is through this life that includes difficulty, suffering, pain. And when Paul writes there that we glory in our sufferings, it's not some kind of masochistic, we enjoy pain, but that we actually are able to see beyond what we're experiencing. That we're able to see beyond the here and now. That we're able to see beyond what we feel and what's right in front of us. And that the Holy Spirit actually helps us in the moment to see that there's something bigger going on than we can understand or feel in the moment. Scripture, particularly the New Testament, is very clear and repeated that while this life is difficult and hard and challenging, there's value to it, that something else is going on. I don't know that there's anyone, and maybe there is, someone here tonight that's like, man, life just always goes my way. Life is always easy. Every decision I make turns out to be the right decision. I don't ever feel pain. No one has ever disappointed me. Did I cross off everyone in the room? I mean, maybe that's you and you really should stop taking drugs, but most of us know this is hard. I'm upset about something right now. I'm disappointed. I've been hurt again. This isn't getting any easier. Most of us know, and even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you can relate to that. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, I hope that we can be honest with our Savior and say, yeah, this life includes trouble. There's trouble. This is hard. But Scripture over and over and over again tells us there's something else going on here. Hebrews talks about when we encounter pain, sometimes it's actually, if we look at it through God's perspective, He's actually parenting us as a loving parent. He's disciplining us because we did something wrong, that we're going to further harm ourselves or others if we don't get corrected and brought back in line. And 1 Peter talks about how when we experience pain from our own perspective, it's actually because we are more valuable than the most valuable thing you can think of. We are so valuable that it's worth refining us to be more of who we're to be. And it paints a picture of gold being refined in a fire, and then refining a fire again, and then refining a fire again, so it's more and more pure, that the impurities are skimmed off the top repeatedly, and we're becoming more of who we were designed to be. But that's a painful process at times. And later on in James, it talks about that. Do you realize what happens at the end? When we go through this path, when we go through this difficulty, when we go through this suffering and testing and trial, that we're actually intended to be something at the end that is complete and mature. We're different people because of it. And so rather than to say, it's not really happening, I'm in denial, or rather to get bitter and angry and turn our back on the God who loves us and created us and saved us, and rather than to think, I'm going to go through this all on my own, the Holy Spirit is actually there to walk with us and meet with us in all of those times in order to comfort us. That one of the things that another advocate means when Jesus says, I'm going to give you another advocate, and we receive the Holy Spirit and get to know and walk with the Holy Spirit, is that He's our comforter. But He does that in some specific ways. And I want to point out just three specific ways that the Holy Spirit brings us comfort in the midst of our challenges and pain and testing and even suffering. The first way is this, and we just read it in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It says that God's love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is actually helping us to experience God's love each and every day. We talked about this a number of weeks ago, where God actually cares that we not only intellectually know that He loves us, but that we actually experience it, that we have some kind of experiential, not objective, subjective experience where we're certain, where we are absolutely certain, where we can look a friend, we can look a spouse, we can look a child, we can look a skeptic in the eye and say, no, I know that my God loves me. That might not make sense to you. As you look at my life and everything I'm experiencing, that might not compute to you. But you need to know that deep in my soul, I believe and I've experienced and I am certain that God loves me. That the Holy Spirit is regularly telling us that we are not orphans, that we are sons and daughters of the King. That God loves us like a son or a daughter. That's what the Holy Spirit is. When you hear that, when we sing it in a song, when you sit down at peace at night and go, I know I'm loved by God, that is not your brain working really well. I might be. But it guaranteed is the Holy Spirit at work within you. That's the Holy Spirit at work within you. The Holy Spirit is there speaking to you, confirming to you that God loves you. Here's what it looks like when we actually walk through our day with this. I had a friend who, wife and a couple kids, and was working a job that he enjoyed. He liked it. He was doing well at it. He was moving up. He was affirmed in it by his coworkers and his supervisor. And then one day, a real subtle way, it wasn't real explicit, but it was a real subtle way, his supervisor kind of circled around to him and kind of made an offhand comment, do this differently. Do this paperwork differently. Fill out this paperwork differently. And just kind of change this just a little bit. Instead of writing this, just kind of change it and write this. It's not illegal. It's not exactly the truth, but it's close enough, and other companies are doing it, and so what's been diverted to them will now start getting diverted to us, and so here's how to do it. Here's how I've been doing it on mine. Here's how I want, you know, just kind of, there you go, wink, wink, nod, nod. My friend sat with that and realized it would have been the easiest thing to do is to fill it out differently, send it off, no one would ever know. His supervisor is actually encouraging him to do it, so he's not going to get in trouble by him. Everybody else is doing it. And as he looked at it and he knew his job and he knew how this was to be filed and how this was to be reported, he realized this actually isn't true. Technically, I could get by with it, but it's not true. And so he sat with it for a few days and prayed about it and thought about it and eventually came to a decision, I can't do it. So he didn't do it. His supervisor came back around a little while later and, hey, why aren't you doing this? Do this. And then a couple conversations at lunch and a passing comment after work, and it wasn't real official channel kind of reporting relationship stuff. It was just kind of around the side. And he says, I can't do it. I just don't feel right about it. Okay, great. Okay, good. Went on. A couple months went by. There's a little more distance between him and his supervisor. Annual reviews came up. Annual review was filled out, and at the end of it said, hey, you've done fine here at the company, but we've decided to go in another direction, and we're not continuing you on for this next year. Thanks so much. See you later. Without anything else other than that being spoken, it was just very clear. You didn't do this thing that would have benefited me and you, and we all would have benefited from it. You didn't do this thing because you didn't think it was right, and so you don't fit here, and you're gone. My friend had multiple opportunities over the course of a number of weeks and then months to decide, who is it that I'm more concerned is telling me who I am? Who is it more, whose voice in my life is more important? Am I going to listen, truly, he didn't say it in these words, but am I going to listen to the Holy Spirit telling me that I'm loved by God, that he's got me, that I'm his son, or am I going to listen to my boss? Who's just wink, wink, nod, nod, wants me to do something a little bit different. And he paid a price for it. But what it was him saying, I know that I'm loved by God. They went through some very difficult times. It was a number of months before he got another job. He went through unemployment and all that, eventually got another job and is providing for his family again. And I have no idea if it's more or less pay or what it's like. But he would tell you today that he listened to God's voice in his life. And he decided, I'm going to value that voice over mine. And what was going on in his life, and what happens so often when we make those decisions in our life, is the Holy Spirit is actually speaking to us. You're a child of the King. God loves you. You're a son and a daughter of God the Father. And that's whose voice is most important. Trust that above all else. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit does and how he brings us comfort is to assure us of God's love. The second way that he does is he actually advocates for us. That word there, again, it means another advocate, one to come alongside. One to speak for us when we can't speak. One to fight for us when we can't fight. One to represent us when we can't represent ourselves. And one to understand the situation when we're confused. I don't know how many of you are familiar with a wonderful organization called International Justice Mission, started by a guy named Gary Haugen in 1997, so coming up on what's it, 17, 18 years now. Worked for the U.S. government. I think it was in Rwanda, realized that injustice was going on there. As a lawyer, started a small nonprofit that now has grown. And I think in the last year, donations to it were over $24 million. They've got offices in a number of places, and they fight for those who can't fight for themselves. I got a chance to meet Gary at a wedding in early 2000s, and then invited him to speak in an event that I was a part of, and got to talk with him a little bit there. And he asked before the event, "Can I play this video?" And very familiar with what his organization was doing and how they were fighting for those that can't fight for themselves. And he played this video at this event, and it's now, fortunately, it's now common to see stories and videos like this. But at the time, it wasn't. This was over a decade ago. And what his organization had come alongside a fairly weak police force in a city in Cambodia. And they had found, after multiple reports and a long investigation, they had found where a group of organized crime guys had been keeping young girls in a shed behind a bar, sexually exploiting them, and trafficking young girls in the sex trade. And the picture that sticks in my mind is the uniformed officers and lawyers from Cambodia and from the U.S., from IJM, standing alongside this shack in the back with a wooden door on the floor that they had opened and had flashlights in, ushering over a dozen girls out that had been kept in a basement of the shack behind a bar. And Gary went on to explain in the video how those girls don't have a voice, how nobody fights for them, that aside from their family, they're forgotten, and how they were able to help the police force there rescue them, and not only rescue them, but then turn around and prosecute those that had done such evil to them, because they understood the court system, because they understood where there were lines of corrupt payments being paid to different officers and judges and that kind of thing, because they had learned it all. And now those girls had a voice in that system, as compromised as it was at points. But they had an advocate that could speak for them. And so not only were they protected, but others like them would be less likely. And it's still a vicious cycle, and there's many more that need to be rescued. But I don't know of a clearer image of an advocate. And lest we think we're good enough on our own, or lest we think we can get through this on our own, or that we think we're intelligent enough, or that we can, as foolish as this sounds, fight for ourselves, we actually need the Holy Spirit to be our advocate. Because there are so many times that we're confused. There are so many times that we don't see the truth. There are so many times that we get it twisted up in our own mind. There are so many times that we're not sure how to feel something. There are so many times that when we kneel down and begin to pray, that we don't know what to pray. That we actually have an advocate that speaks for us when we can't speak, that fights for us when we can't fight, that knows what we need to ask for, and knows what we need to confess, and knows what we need to plead for. And he does it on our own behalf. And so often, we're tempted to think we're in this on our own, and we're not. We have an advocate who fights for us. When I go home tonight, I'm going to log into my sister-in-law's HBO Go account, and I'm going to hopefully be able to watch the first episode of the final season of The Newsroom. Probably could have said that differently. The Newsroom is this great show. There's been two seasons of it. Aaron Sorkin, who, regardless of what you think about his politics, is a brilliant writer. And he's written this last, and they filmed it all in the first ones tonight. And I forget the lead guy's character. If you remember him, you can yell it out. But it's this great scene where he's advocating for a young... It's a story of a newsroom, obviously, because of the name is The Newsroom. But he's standing next to a young reporter who has just made a massive mistake, and he's getting her back. And he says this line. He says, "You're going to go out there and you're going to admit what you did wrong, but you're going to stick to the part of the story that's true." And he says, "And I will always be standing right beside you and right in front of you." I'll always be standing right beside you and right in front of you. Flawed seam, all of that, that's what the Holy Spirit is for us. Always standing right beside us and before us in all of our needs. The third way that the Holy Spirit is a comfort to us is that he actually provides strength. Jason gave a great talk last week, if you were here, on the power of the Holy Spirit. This is different than the power. Power does so many things. Jason didn't even have enough time to talk about all of the different ways that we see the power of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. This is different. Strength, what I'm saying here tonight, is different than that power. It's that when we're weak, the Holy Spirit meets us in our weakness and provides strength for us. And I was thinking through how the Holy Spirit being present with me has given me strength. And I can think of a whole lot in my life, but the one that I couldn't get off of my mind was something that, if you were here 6 months ago or so, I shared briefly about. But I want to revisit it just because it was so clearly a moment of the Holy Spirit using somebody else to help give me strength. My son Ethan is now a sophomore at Reynolds High School. Last year he was a freshman. If you've been around Portland for the last 6 months, you know that at Reynolds High School in June 10th, one of the last days of school, there was a school shooting there. My son Ethan was in the building where the shooting happened. He was on the other side of the wall. He was with a couple hundred other freshmen PE students that were in their PE class in the gym waiting for the class to start. I think Jared is the name of the shooter, got off the bus, loaded up in the locker room right next to the gym, got surprised as he was all geared up. Another freshman had walked in to use the restroom probably and surprised Jared, and Jared shot Emilio and killed him. All of the students heard the gunshot. Half of the students fled out of the gym. The other, including my son, kind of went, "What was that?" The teacher ran over into there, realized what was going on, then ran to alert the officers. He was struck in the back, grazed in the back as he was running. That shot alerted the rest of the students that fled out of the room. Ethan got with about 30 or 40 students into a kind of a storage room and blocked the door while the shooter walked around the hallway for a couple minutes. So the officers came in, and he ran into the restroom and took his own life. So there were the shooter and one other student were killed. A friend here at Mosaic, a detective, called me and said, "Do you know what's going on?" I said, "No, it's 8:20 in the morning." I was coherent. I was in the office and got the phone call and said, "I know what's going on." And he said, "There's a live active shooting at Reynolds." And I ran out of the office and started driving down to get to Reynolds High School. Kind of crazy experience, but got there, was able to get into the texting Ethan in between as I was going, and finally heard that he was okay. Was able to get all the way into the parking lot across the street where they were unloading the students out of the school. Got to Ethan. Was a wreck. It was the worst car ride of my life. I screamed on the way there, not knowing what was going to happen. Was very not pleased with Jesus at that moment and let him know that. Was scared more than I've ever been in my life. Got to Ethan, wrapped my arms around him, realized I embarrassed him in front of all of his friends. He was alive and fine. I stepped away and let him be with the cool kids, and I stood off to the side. As I was standing there trying to collect myself, another friend from Mosaic, who's a police officer, walked over to me, and all he did was walk up and give me a hug, and I couldn't say anything. He didn't say anything, and he just stood there next to me, and we looked in each other's eyes, and he just stood there. His walkie-talkie thing clicked a couple times, and he said something into it. It was very clear he was going to stand there with me for a few moments. I realized as I was standing there with him, I calmed down a little bit, and I felt a little bit better. Still not feeling really good, but felt a little bit better. My friend gave me another hug and said, "Okay, I got to get back to it." He went off and went to it. And I realized that what happened right there was that I had a friend who was with me in the midst of the scariest moment of my life. And my friend actually didn't save the day, and he didn't change the situation. He didn't bring those two kids back to life. He didn't protect my son for the rest of his days in some way. He didn't change the situation at all. But by being right there next to me and by giving me a hug, he gave me strength that I didn't have a moment before. He gave me strength to get through the next moment. And then I was a little bit stronger that I could get through the next moment and the next one. And when Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit and we turn and we look and go, this is the life that I'm going to be called to, and I don't know everything that it's going to involve, and I do know that it's going to be trouble, and I do know there's going to be suffering, and my way is not going to go my way all the time, and I'm going to be disappointed and scared and anxious and full of fear and pain at times, that I actually need a comfort that is beyond my own strength. And Jesus actually says, you need this for the journey. And it provides a strength for you that you can't have and you don't have on your own. And one of the great comforts to our lives is the Holy Spirit simply being with us. Not saying anything, but just being present. And sometimes it's just Him and us. Sometimes He communicates through us, His presence through us, through other people. But simply by being with us, He gives us enough strength for the next moment and the moment after that. I want to invite you to do something tonight that might feel a little bit different. But I want to give you an opportunity to actually practice this. I've got four friends that have simply said, hey, I'd be available to pray with someone if somebody wanted to pray. Chase and Jeanette are going to be standing over there. And Jordan and Kim are going to be standing on this side. Here's what I want to invite you to do. We're going to sing and we're going to come to this table. And some of you are at that place tonight where you can barely put one foot in front of the other. Some of you are in this place where you're full of fear or anxiety or pain or suffering or something. And what you need is actually someone just to put their arm around you and just to pray for you. Or put their arm around you and just stand with you. And so we're going to sing. And that might feel a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And I just want to guarantee you that you will survive. You will not die. And actually, God might use it in a very significant way. So I want to invite you to these tables. That this is the life represented before us of the one who's given us the Holy Spirit. That Jesus' body broken and His blood shed, represented by the bread broken and this juice in this cup. And I invite you to walk forward as we sing when you're ready and remember Christ's sacrifice for us. And so there's these three tables up here. And then there's, again, as I said, my friends are on the side, Jason, Jeanette, Kim, and Jordan. So just walk up to them. They'll put an arm around you. You don't have to say anything. You can if you want, but you don't have to. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we all are humbled when we think about Your commitment and Your unwavering love to us and for us, that You never leave us, that You are always with us, and that You actually are refining us and growing us and stretching us. And so would You continue to shape us, that we would be more assured of Your love, that we would see clearly, Holy Spirit, You advocating for us on our behalf, and that we would be strengthened when we need it for the challenging, painful, scary times in this life.
Thank you for listening to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. We broadcast every Sunday from the Hollywood District in Portland, Oregon. If you'd like more information about who we are as a community, there's two addresses you should visit. Firstly, you can find us at www.mosaicportland.org, or you can just come and visit us on a Sunday at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.